You're listening to Talking Baseball with Ed Randall, presented by MLB.com. He's Ed Randall. He's talking baseball. What more do you need?
Hi, everybody. I'm Ed Randall, Big Ed and Nora's baby boy, and welcome back to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. There was a time when the Chicago Cubs in the World Series was a fairly regular occurrence. Problem is, not in our lifetime. They reached the World Series 10 times in 40 years, winning twice. And then, since 1945, they stopped. It's so long ago, America still had 48 states. And now, after a 71-year absence, they're back. This means an awful lot to their longest tenured scout, 33 years in the game, who has lived long enough to see the Cubs in the World Series. He can't believe it, nor can Billy Blitzer believe he's a guest on Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. It's great to have you, Billy. You made it to the World Series.
Yeah, I finally made it. I never thought I'd see this day, but here I am.
As way of background, you grew up in Brooklyn, still living in Brooklyn, and must have been a pretty good ball player because you played high school ball in Brooklyn, and it just so happened that one of your teammates was Lee Mazzilli.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Lee was a hell of a player. He was so much better than everybody else. At that time, I didn't have to be a scout to see that. And, you know, everybody grows up thinking that one day maybe they can play in the major leagues and see themselves on a baseball card. But the day I saw Lee play, he came out to try out for the team. I said, you know, we're not as good as this kid, so I better start changing occupations. And I thought that I would become a teacher and a baseball coach, you know, to stay in the game or get into the game somehow. But it was things that changed along the way, and I became a baseball scout.
So as you prepared to graduate from Lincoln High School in Brooklyn in 1971, New York City is going through a budget crisis that causes a hiring freeze for teachers, and that played into your life's work.
Oh, absolutely. But what had happened was I attended Hunter College here in New York City, and while playing on the team, like I said, I knew I wasn't going to become a professional baseball player, but I liked to coach, and I felt like I had a feel for the game. So I asked some of the players on the team if maybe they knew some place that I could coach a Sandlot team or be, you know, get some feeling before maybe I would go in towards high school coaching or whatever it might be. And they got me in touch. There was a new organization in Brooklyn in the parade grounds called Youth Service, which has become probably one of the biggest Sandlot organizations in New York City. Right now, Dellen Betances is one of our kids. I'm still associated with them after 40 years, but Dellen, Sean Dunstan, Manny Ramirez, I can go on and on. A very successful program. So I began to coach there, and one day I'm sitting in the stands waiting for my game, and there's an old man sitting next to me, and we strike up a conversation to what I was doing there, and I said I'm going to coach the next game. Well, after the game was over, he comes over to me and he said, I want to talk to you. I told him, about what? And he said, my name is Ralph DeLulo. I work for the Major League Scouting Bureau. And at that time, the Bureau had just begun, so I had no idea what that was. So he explained it to me. I said, okay, you want to talk to me about one of my players? Because my shortstop's name was Willie Lizardo, who ended up playing in the Major Leagues with the Milwaukee Brewers and had a cup of coffee. He says, no, I don't want to talk to him about the player. I want to talk to you about you. And I said, I wasn't playing. And he said, well, you're coaching kids basically your own age. You seem to have a feel for the game. I'd like to come back next week and sit with you at a game again. And I asked him why. And he said, don't worry. Just give me your phone number. I'll call you up to find out when you're playing. And I want you to meet me at the ballpark. Well, I went home and told my parents what had gone on. I said, I don't know if this man's for real or he's pulling my leg or whatever, but Ralph did call at the ballpark, and then he started pointing things out to me about the game, and he said to me, I'm going to run a tryout camp here in Brooklyn, but you're going to invite all the players because you seem to know everybody here. And I did, and that's how my career began. I began as a bird dog for Ralph DeLulo with the Major League Scouting Bureau. I did that for 3 years, then the Major League Scouting Bureau hired me as a part-time scout, and from there I went to the Chicago Cubs. So I've been doing it for over 40 years.
And you have been a survivor, having remained through various ownerships with the Cubs, the Tribune Company for one, and now the Ricketts family.
Absolutely. I guess I come with the furniture when they sell the club.
But that's a tribute to you.
Well, I've always tried to work hard and do a good job and do the best I can, and I guess people have noticed over the years, and there was no reason to replace me. I just go out and do my job, and that's all I can say.
There was a very emotional moment for you when Theo Epstein was recruited to get the Cubs on the right track, and he came in and he had a meeting in Arizona shortly after he took over in February of 2012. Tell us about that meeting.
Well, what had happened was Theo was holding his first organization meeting that February before spring training. And we were flying out on Sunday. The meeting was to begin on Monday. And on Friday afternoon, Theo called me up. And I didn't know Theo before. I know a lot of people in the game, but I didn't know Theo. And I don't know Jed Hoyer at this point in time. And Theo called me up and said to me that he wanted to select three people in the organization to get up and talk to everybody about the Cubs, what it meant to them before he would begin whatever he wanted to say. Would I be able to get up and speak in front of everybody? I said, I have no problem. The three men that he chose were Billy Williams, Lester Strode, our bullpen coach, and myself. And he had us sit in front of the room. There were about 130, 150 men in there. You had our scouts, professional and amateur. You had our minor league managers and coaches and trainers and everybody else in the organization, secretaries. And as Theo came to the front where the three of us were sitting, I thought he would hand the mic to Billy Williams, Hall of Famer. He turns and hands the mic to me, and I got up and I spoke and I told what it was, that 30 years previously I had sat in a hotel room in the same area, my first meeting. And I got up and spoke about the Cubs. But how I ended it was the New York Football Giants had just won the Super Bowl maybe a week or two before. And I told a story how a friend of mine had called me up and had said to me, would I like to go to the Super Bowl parade? And I said, no, I'm not interested. And he said, why not? It's 48 degrees here in New York and we'll have a nice time. I said, I'm not interested. The only parade I'm interested in is the one that's going to go down Michigan Avenue when the Cubs win the World Series. Not only will I be there, I'll be in it. And I put my hand up in the air, and I said to everybody, see this hand? No ring. I've been here 30 years. I have nothing to show for it, and I don't have another 30 years to give. Let's go. And the whole place just erupted. Theo came off the stage and hugged me. Billy Williams hugged me. It was really a great moment.
Billy Blitzer is with us. He is the longest tenured scout in the Chicago Cubs organization, 33 years in the game. And you were the guy who stuck your neck out for a soft-tossing left-handed pitcher at St. Joseph's College in Philadelphia named Jamie Moyer, who became a Chicago Cub.
Yes, I was. That was 1984. It was a long time ago, and Jamie always credits me with that because, really, at the time, there were only two teams interested, the Cubs, myself, and there was an old scout for the Phillies named Joe Riley. And I was fortunate enough to talk the Cubs into drafting Jamie in the sixth round that year. And I guess, as you say, the rest is history.
A guy that nobody thought could play professional ball, never mind pitching the major leagues, Billy. And the guy goes out and pitches till age 49 and wins well more than 200 games.
If you would have told me that at the time, I would have told you were probably crazy. You know, but I just had a great feeling about this kid. I felt that he can pitch, and I don't mean he didn't throw hard, but he knew how to pitch. He knew how to get hitters out, and that really is the name of the game, to get people out. And Jamie struggled at the beginning, but he got to the big leagues. Believe it or not, out of all the players I signed, I had two that made it to the major leagues in a year and a half, and he was one of them. And to his credit, he never gave up. People always told him that you can't do it. You cannot pitch in the major leagues. And he said, I'm going to show you. And he always did. And it was ironic. When he reached 40 years old, I used to kid him that he can pitch until he's 50 because you won't lose anything off your fastball.
Because you never had it to begin with.
And when he got hurt, he was 48. He had tore a ligament in his elbow and had surgery. And I'll never forget, I called him up to see how he was doing, and I said to him, well, what are you going to do now? He said, what do you mean, what am I going to do now? I'm going to rehabilitate, and I'm going to pitch again. I said, Jamie, you're 48 years old, going on 49 before you'd be able to pitch in the big leagues again. He said, stop right there. Aren't you the guy that kept telling me that I could pitch till I'm 50? And there I had to shut my mouth because he was determined to do it, and he did.
He has a good memory. And this relationship with Moyer extended well beyond the baseball field because he got invited back for a very special day at St. Joseph's in Philadelphia, and he wanted you there.
Yeah, Jamie was inducted into their Hall of Fame, and somebody from the school had called me up about it. And I said, okay, I'm going to try to show up. It was a Friday afternoon, and I said, I'm going to do my best to be there, but don't tell them that I'm coming. And I drove to Philly that day. Believe it or not, I took a day off from scouting, and I sat in the audience, and Jamie and Karen came in a whole entourage, and as they were walking, his wife Karen spotted me in the audience, and they waved to me, and they stopped, and they said, you come up here and sit with the family. You know, that's how they consider me, part of their family. And it was just a great experience.
And you are. About the disappointments, 69, in which they had a long lead in August and then gave it up to the Mets, a team of destiny. That was before your time.
Well, I grew up a Mets fan. So in 69, I was rooting for the Mets at that time.
So you were a happy boy. But now you're in professional ball, and there's 1984, and there's 1998, unforgettably 2003, 2007 and 08. All those teams made the playoffs, and yet their dreams of holding the World Series trophy were extinguished.
Yeah, I've had a lot of disappointment here, you know, with what's gone on through the years. Especially 84 was my second year with the Cubs, and I always said my ring went right through Leon Durham's legs. And, you know, Bartman, they talk about it wasn't him.
No,
you know,
it wasn't.
Gonzalez made an error later on in the inning, and we just didn't hold him. But it was a great deal of disappointment. You know, you think this is the year I might finally get my ring. And then this year it finally happened.
Did you lower your expectations just in the hope of getting to the World Series, never mind winning it? They hadn't won since 1908, but they had not appeared in the World Series since 1945.
Well, you never want to really lower your expectations just to get there. I mean, we're in it right now. Hopefully we can win. You know, we started the series, and you hope to get a split in Cleveland, let's say, and then maybe we can take two out of three in Chicago, which would put us up 3-2, and then go from there. But you never know, you know, what can happen. But you always want to win the big one.
Billy Blitzer is with us in point of service. He is the longest tenured scout on the in the Chicago Cubs organization. They have been pointing, though, towards this year, Billy. In 2015, they got to the playoffs. They got to the NLCS. They lost to the Mets, got swept. There was the feeling that they were a little bit ahead of schedule, that 2016 was going to be the year. But you could see this train, especially you with your trained eye, could see this train coming down the tracks long before 2015 and 16, since Theo took over.
Oh, absolutely. I think since Theo came in, we've done a great job with drafting position players, developing them, and you can see the foundation of a top-flight organization. And this year is no fluke. We have a solid base. I expect us to compete and hopefully win in the next few years as well. This is not a one-shot deal, as you would say.
So Puig is at the plate with a runner at first base, and he hits a ground ball to Addison Russell, who turns it into a 6-4-3 game-ending, series-ending double play to get the Cubs into the World Series for the first time in 71 years. What happens at that moment to Billy Blitzer?
I was sitting in a chair in the living room with some friends, and when he hit the ground ball, I didn't even realize it. I jumped off the chair, and I yelled twice, double play, double play. When it was completed, we won. As I'm jumping up and down, I just started to cry. I guess all the years of the hard work and the frustration just came out. But, you know, hopefully we can do the same thing in the World Series.
And you heard from a number of friends.
Well, within 8 minutes, believe it or not, I had 47 texts and 17 emails, and the phone was ringing off the hook. I had calls here in New York until 1 o'clock in the morning. It's really so many people rooting for the Cubs because of me, and just a great feel to know you have so many people in your corner.
There is, I believe, a lot of baseball fans from various teams, Billy, who really want to see the Cubs win and see this nightmare end.
Well, I'm one of them, but there really are. You know, people always root for the underdog. We've lost for so many years, and let me give Cleveland credit as well. I mean, they haven't won since 48, but we're a little longer. So, you know, what can I say?
What do you think it would be like for you if the Cubs win the World Series?
Oh, I'd be ecstatic. I mean, I'm a happy person right now, but I would just be ecstatic.
This has been very emotional for you this season.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, everything that I've always dreamt of and worked for, it's finally coming true.
And all those lonely times of driving in the last 33 years, probably from here to the moon, when you add up all of the mileage that you have spent in the service of the Chicago Cubs, hopefully now will pay off.
Well, I hope so. You know, it's a lot of long days and long and lonely days and nights in hotels and a lot of rotten food at the ballpark, as you can attest to, Ed. And what can you say? You know, you just hope one time that you can win it all. And hopefully this is our time.
And hopefully it is. Billy, thanks so much. So that'll do it for Billy Blitzer and myself on MLB.com. If you were on the move, thanks for the ride. And thanks for listening to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball.